Good morning, man.
Good morning, William.
How are you?
William, I'm doing pretty well, all things considered.
All things considered? What does that mean?
Yeah.
I didn't expect that.
All right. So here's one of the things I hadn't considered. So I from time to time, we've mentioned my back will go out. And you actually give me some advice on that. But recently my back went out and it was like, hey, we're going to stay out forever.
No
so
good.
That was no good.
No mas.
And so I read up on what to do. And one of the things that surprised me that I'm supposed to do, which you probably know because I know you have a similar occasional back situation, is that I'm supposed to do a lot of core strengthening exercises.
Yes.
The reason that surprises me is, I don't know, it's like my back feels different than my stomach, but it's apparently all related.
Yes.
And so I started doing a 3 times a week core regimen that I found online.
Nice job.
And I can confirm that it seems to be helping a lot.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's good.
I have read the same thing, and I hate core work in general.
I do not like it.
Freaking hate it.
I mean, some of them are fine, but the weird Pilates crunches. Pilates, like, it feels like, what if we did exercise and made it feel like the most inconvenient thing you've ever done? You know what I mean? Like, that's what Pilates feels like to me.
So I have a guilty spending habit. There's a couple of spending habits I've had over the years that even when I was poor, I still did. Like, so one of the things, I take my shirts to the launder, right, to get ironed and starched or whatever.
Cool.
I've always done it.
Yeah.
Ever since I came home from my mission, and you know, it's been a burden at times, but ultimately it's just something, it makes me feel in a certain way that I enjoy.
Okay,
so that's one. The other one that I have right now is a trainer.
Yeah, I've heard that actually helps you exercise.
Well, yeah, but it's more than that. I often will do, like, for instance, sit-ups. When you do sit-ups or crunches or whatever, do you ever get pain in your back?
No, but I do when I plank. When I plank, it just feels like someone's trying to break
me
in
so,
half.
So the kind of the top 10 core exercises, right?
Yeah.
That's it really works for a 20, 30-year-old guy. But once we're in our 50s, right, things change.
They do.
You have to realize. So I really wanted to the amount of muscle mass that you can put on your body after 30 starts to deteriorate very, very quickly.
That makes sense.
But there are a lot of studies that show the amount of muscle mass on your frame at 50, 60, 70 is going to tell your longevity of your life.
Yeesh. Well,
so
it's been nice.
I'm not talking about...
It's been nice knowing you, everyone.
I'm not talking about like Arnold Schwarzenegger svelte stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about like your body mass starts to come down and your doughiness starts to go up, right? Just
the chemicals
in your body.
It does seem to want to do that.
And so if you can keep your body mass up, then you can do things like eat some garbage once in a while, and
sure,
it's not going to affect you like it do. Anyway, this is a long story to say that
how does this pertain to mushroom beverages?
That's
sorry,
for my
I'm
brain. So my guilty, one of the guilty things that I do is this trainer. And even when I start to do my skinny routine,
a lot of people wouldn't describe that as a guilty thing to do. People be like, look at this guy. He's on top of his
guilty
game.
Because he's an expense that seems to be, you know, you have that, is it a need or a want?
I see.
The older I get, the more I realize it's a need than a want.
All right.
And although it is definitely always a want to get rid of, right? When the checkbook starts, because, you know, I live on commission, so it's not like I get a consistent budgetable, you know, amount of money every month.
Right, right.
I have to always say, like, is this something that we need now, right? Or what's the next thing coming in the pipe? Is this going to be okay to purchase?
Right.
And large things like cars, stuff like that, that's easy. But when it comes down to, you know, things like this, which
monthly,
is kind of a medium
expenditure.
Yeah, it's like a medium monthly expenditure. It would literally give me a lot of breathing room, but I'm finding that that's probably not the greatest thing to eliminate right now. So that be all being said, that I realize that just doing core work like I used to, sit-ups, planks, blah, blah, doesn't work like it used to. And so I found out that I've had other weaknesses like hips, things like that, that as I've strengthened, my back feels better. I do not get those problems anymore.
That's nice.
And every time I do something, anyway, this is the, this is my guilty pleasure. I still use a trainer.
Cool.
And he's not a rah-rah, 5 more pounds, 50 more push-ups kind of guy. He's just like, okay, oh, that doesn't work. Ew, we need to release that muscle. So sometimes I go in and we'll do, you know, half of the workouts just trying to stretch and get mobility back. So
yeah, it's the mobility that I am noticing in, so I'm not even doing, like, you know, I'm doing 25 minutes of stomach stuff. I'm
still
not
pretty good.
I'm not doing whatever, you know what I mean? But I've noticed that just even that one exercise, because just clambering around the floor is like reintroducing my clambering ability.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
I haven't clambered around anything for a long time. Yes. Unless, so like when I do like home improvement and like whatever, and I start clambering, I'm like, boy, I don't even know how to do this anymore. You know, do you know what I mean? But now I'm like, oh yeah, I can clamber a little bit. You know, it's no big deal. So.
Yeah, I can crawl around. I can lift that thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I hope you feel better. Also, remember your posterior chain, which is your back itself. You do need to strengthen that.
Okay.
Because
I'll have to start doing that.
That's also part of your core, right? So sure. As you get your core muscles,
one of the exercises actually exercises the back, but not very many. So maybe I have to look into that.
Planks do.
Boy, I can't. No, I stopped doing it.
I hate planks
because I started doing something else because it just hurts. Like,
yeah, that's. The
I don't
problem.
Mean like the arm. I don't mean like, oh, it's hard. No. I mean like, it's hard. Also, there's this place in my spine where it feels like someone's like digging their elbow in while I do it. You know what I mean? And it's right. Like, it feels weird, you know? I don't know.
Well, I'm glad you're doing some core work. You look svelte.
Thanks, man. Yeah. I have a heavy topic that I want to hit early so that we can get back to fun stuff.
This is more core stuff? What?
I don't know. Well, some of our friends I've seen on Facebook, but so my son, Max, so he's in a leadership position for the youth at church right now.
Yes.
And in that position, one of the things they do is they take out some of the emblems of our church to people who are homebound. And they therefore interact with these people that are homebound who are usually very sick. Right. Recently that included somebody who was dying of cancer and he was confronted with, okay, this person that seems like a really nice person who's been kind of kind to me, even though I barely know him.
Is
dying of cancer, right?
Is this the woman?
No, this is the man that passed a month or two ago.
Oh, got it. You guys have a strange amount.
We have
number of those.
We have a wild quantity of issues right now. But he had to confront death in a way that I thought was really healthy. Somebody that was kind, somebody that was suffering, somebody who had lived a good life, who was old. He got to see him pass away, and he had this moment where, you know, he had to confront mortality.
Right.
So as a father, I was like, wow, that's heavy, but I'm proud of my son for learning this thing. Right. So that's the kind of thing you might expect and want for a kid to mature. What I didn't want was he has been setting up concerts in the park
with his
boss and two of his boss's friends who are in their late 50s, who are brothers.
Right.
Phil and Jaime. And so it's been JC and Max and Phil and Jaime. So Max is the 17-year-old. And then there's there's three people in their 50s. And two of them are Latinos. And so they like curse at him in Spanish and then joke around with him. And they've just been good mentors and friends. Anyway, on the way home from one of the concerts last week, Jaime, according to reports in the paper, which have yet to be verified, so I don't know if this is actually what went down, but a couple of people stole a car and crashed it into Jaime, and Jaime died in a car accident on the way home from this thing. So my son has been spending, I mean, these are like 17-hour days, and it's been for 3 years in the summertime, 17-hour days with these people. And he is just like, what? Like, that's a different kind of death, and it's a worse kind of death.
Right.
It's like, you know, this is not like an old man who's lived a full life, who's suffering, who would be a blessing to see
life has been taken from him.
Right? This is just like, Nah, we were joking around an hour ago and now he's gone. And so my son is like getting a full dose of that. So that's happened.
That's tough. But you know what? He's a unique guy. He has unique experiences, unique outlooks, and unique way of dealing with life. And
it makes me feel like God is like prepping him. We're gonna give you an immersion into.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Things.
It feels like, I don't know. There's no doubt. That's happening.
I actually, he's in my Defense Against Dark Arts class, and I put out a group.
This is great.
I put out a group chat. Did you hear about this? I put out a group chat, and he says, I put it out, and he says, hey, what about so-and-so? He's not on the chat. And that so-and-so hadn't come, you know, it's only the first week of class, so he hadn't come to class yet.
Yeah.
And so he hadn't put his name down on my roll, so I hadn't added him. And I'm like, but I had noticed at the same time that I hadn't texted him, right?
Right.
So I texted him on this other kid on the side, and Max, there's two parts of this, right? One, he did something really cool, which was he didn't do it inside the text chat. He did it on the side.
Okay.
Which is kind of mature communication. Like, this isn't really for everybody, but someone needs to know, right? So he texted me back personally, and he says, hey, did you forget so-and-so? He's not on the list.
Right.
And I'm like, thank you for noticing. I had forgot him to add him, but I did contact him already. I'll add him in right now. And so, but I like, you know, he has a very unique, you should be proud. He has a unique way of looking at the world. And because of that, I think, you know, obviously he's getting prepared for some cool stuff.
Well, so yeah, so that's the thing. So, you know, hug your loved ones. Make sure that your last interaction with people is a positive one, because accidents happen.
And I have a friend of mine whose wife just passed away. And he had gone out to, they have a home office outside in their kind of like garage casita kind of thing.
Yeah.
And he was out there working, came inside and found her, passed away.
Wow.
And of the couple, he's the one with health problems, not her. She was perfectly healthy. Nobody, you know, she had her physicals and everything like that. They think she either had a aneurysm or one of those, what do they call, widowmaker heart.
Yeah.
But they can't. Because it's LA County, to do an autopsy would take months.
Really?
Yeah. So wow. In order,
but, you know, so it kind of doesn't matter. Like when my father-in-law passed away, he had something similar happen, and it's like you kind of want to know why he died, but then you're like, look, there's no foul play, and he's still dead. Like there's no reason to know, really. Yeah. And so same thing. So.
That's an interesting thing. But I can tell you it's not the end.
It is not the end.
It is not the end.
It is not the end. And Max has found hope in the belief that it's not the end.
So I got to tell you about something that's a, you know, we talk about life hacks, and some of these life hacks are just things we stumble into. So my sister at her house, she had these, I love red peppers.
Okay.
Okay. And I've always I never really thought there's a big difference between red peppers. You just buy them at the, you know, the red pepper flakes that you get on your pizza or whatever, you know, you get them at the grocery store. So you give them the little shaker. And I've always I think I've noticed that some are a little bit more potent than others, but for the most part, they're all the same, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't know.
Okay.
Because I haven't.
You don't do red pepper flakes on your pizza?
But I haven't, not to the point where I would tell the difference between one pepper flake or another.
Me either.
Okay.
For real. I mean, I just wouldn't, right? But I was at my sister's house, and she had this really cool like grinder, and her red pepper flakes were in there, and I put it on a pizza, I think, when I was there. I'm like, wow, this is like flavorful. Like, it's good. And she goes, oh, yeah, I get it from this company called Flat Iron Pepper Company.
Okay.
FlatIronPepper.com.
All right.
Dude, did you look at the website? I sent it to you.
No, I thought this was just, we're going to be talking about it on air. I didn't do any research.
Dude, they have got some of the coolest stuff. My very favorite flavor is called Hatch Valley Green, and it has all these different kinds of chilies in them.
Okay.
And then I have another one called, they have, you know, the Scoville thing, like the hot. Yeah. It has it on the side, so it tells you if it's hot, medium, or whatever. The Hatch one is the one that I have the most flavor. Dude, you put them on eggs. So good.
Yeah.
Or mix it in cream cheese on a bagel. Dude, new level. New level of yummy flavor. Okay, but they have all kinds of different ones. I got a variety pack. I didn't like the smoky ones. They weren't that great to me. But but they had the Hatch chili one's my favorite, and then they have the fire one.
My mouth is watering a little bit.
Dude, the fire one, you just do like like just a little bit of flakes on your thing. And you're like, yeah. Holy cow, dude.
That's so amazing.
And it's flavor yummy. It's not, I mean, that, it will burn your face off if you put too much on it. But
so there's a show that was on Hulu last year called The Bear. And in the last episode, one of the main characters made an omelet for somebody.
Right.
And in that omelet, so she made this omelet and then she put like, she had like a squeezy thing of like soft, like French cheese that she squeezed onto the thing. And then she folded the sides in to make this omelet. And my wife noted that. And so she went and bought some of that Boisin cheese, like B-O-I-S-I-N cheese.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's been sitting in our fridge for a while. She's like, I'm going to make some of those eggs. So then last night, dude, she did it. She soft scrambled some eggs and then mixed in some of this cheese with pepper and brought it to me. And it was the creamiest, most delicious eggs that I've had in a long time. It's a good time.
Nice job.
So I can only imagine like a little dash of good pepper on the top of that would be pretty great.
Are you a sriracha fan, by the way?
So yes and no. I have a weird diet of, I avoid, there's certain things that I avoid that affect my behavior.
Right.
Like, we talked about it on air, I think it's called the Feingold diet, where there's certain foods that I don't know, make me emotionally sensitive. And so basically,
emotionally?
I become a jerk. I become like, kind
oh, really? I didn't know that.
Kind of PMS.
I thought it was just like your stomach felt.
No, I tell you it's an allergy because it's easier to explain that way.
Got it.
But I found that there's certain foods according to this diet that affect my behavior. It made me as a kid, the common parlance today would be ADHD. It made me way more like
anxious
right. and like twitchy and just rude. Okay. And by the way, I've always wondered if it's actually like, is it my imagination? But then I've been around people who love me, who've seen me like go off the diet. And they're like, this is not a person that I like to be around. I describe it as, it kind of makes me kind of PMS-y. That's kind of the way I act.
Yeah.
Anyway, I like sriracha a lot, but I found like that it makes me pretty, pretty hard to be around.
Then you're good, because you know there's a shortage. There's a shortage. Okay, so
is it still a foot? Is there still a shortage?
I can't find this stuff. So Hoi Fung Foods, which is the one that's actually made here in the city of industry, in LA, right?
Right.
That's like the gold standard of sriracha, and so now a whole bunch of other companies are making sriracha. Not a single one of them tastes right.
Oh, they're licensing the name sriracha?
No. It's an actual sauce. You can make it. I mean, like Hoi is H-E-Y Fong, F-O-N-G, food.
Oh, I thought sriracha was their brand name. That's not their brand name. That's just the name of the sauce.
The sauce is, it's like made of. And
yeah, no, they definitely taste different.
Yeah, so they have like, they taste dramatically different. And I didn't realize it, but every once in a while I get tricked to trying sriracha from another brand. Even Trader Joe's, which is usually pretty good at making good stuff. It's nasty. I do not like any brand other than that. So I've been actually missing it because I used to put that on my eggs. But now that I have my chilies from Flatiron Pepper Company.
I had a sriracha t-shirt and I wore it once on a hike and like we passed these Asian people and they were like nodding and kind of like,
oh yeah,
this guy.
Yeah, yeah. You know what's the funniest part about it? You know what's the funniest part? You know what the shortage is about? There's a giant drought in Mexico.
Mm.
It's Mexican chili.
I see.
And it's made in California.
Yeah.
It is like the Asian staple in America.
It's great.
Yeah.
I mean, I love sriracha. Tastes great.
Yep.
But it is pretty spicy.
It is. But I love it. So yummy. So good and pho.
All right. So I have a weird thing that, speaking of weird things, so you just heard about one of my weird quirks, which is this food diet. Now, my family listening is like, no, it checks out. I've seen Randy avoid X, Y, or Z foods. And if you want to know more, go find out about the Feingold diet. There's like, I think it's feingold.org. They talk about it.
Anyway. I should check it out because
it doesn't affect everyone. By the way, I'm not one of those people that's like, it affects everyone. In fact, I've had friends who've had similar behaviors as me where I've encouraged them to try it when I was a younger man.
Right.
And it had no impact. Like, so I have family members that it impacts, like, and I have kids that it doesn't impact. So
I used to be
something about my genetic makeup
just does it.
Makes it be a thing.
I find that so fascinating.
It's really weird.
So like, mine is the thing that makes me grumpy, and my wife can instantly tell if I've done it is like a Red Bull.
Oh really?
Oh yeah. Huh. And interesting, nowadays it actually affects my joints, so I don't ever drink it. But but it used to be it didn't affect my joints, but it would affect my mood.
Yeah.
And my wife says that I would get super short with everybody.
Right.
I talk faster, and you know what I thought was actually a cool thing, it turned out to be a giant a-hole thing.
Yeah, sort of like cocaine. Like
she wouldn't even know. I would drink one like on the way home to stay awake in the freeway or something. And so when I got home, she's like, You drink a Red Bull. I was like, yeah. What? She goes.
What do you mean? Stop looking at me.
Just leave. Just leave.
All right. So weird quirk number two. This one I inherited from my wife by way of marriage.
Okay.
Which is when she goes to bed at night, she has her thoughts are swimming. Like her mind is swimming with everything that's been said during the day, and she just can't get it out of her head. And so it actually soothes her to like watch a show and drift off to sleep.
Okay.
Okay. So I begrudgingly, I'm like, what are we doing? Are we having a slumber party? I don't understand. And I didn't used to be able to do that. I didn't used to be able to watch any show and go to sleep. But I desire to, I want Rachel to be able to sleep comfortably. So
right.
I kind of got used to it. But we found that there's like some shows that are no go. Like you can't watch a show where they're all of a sudden going to rapidly burst into gunfire and start screaming at each other, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Similarly, there's some shows that are super good, but they're for sleep. But their theme songs
song comes on.
If you accidentally fall asleep to one of those shows and it does that play the next episode thing, then in like every 45 minutes you're gonna be like, wake up.
So your topic was sleepable shows. Okay, sleepable shows. What are your sleepable shows?
Okay, so we have the number one sleepable show, and it's a delightful show. I'm not suggesting this is a boring show, but
it's peaceful.
Is the Pride and Prejudice movie that came out 20 years ago with Keira Knightley.
Oh, okay.
Keira Knightley, Pride and Prejudice. It has music.
Okay.
How many times can you show
that show?
Well, that's the point, though. You're not trying to watch it. The point is you're just kind of drifting off to sleep.
So you guys have a list, like a playlist?
Well, we have an unofficial playlist, yes. We used to sleep to Monk a lot. Monk is a problem because the Randy Newman theme song is a little perky, so that's a little hard. Elementary is one of the all-time great sleep shows.
Oh, for sure. I was going to say that one. I fall asleep in that show more times than ever.
Because Elementary, the first couple seasons, it was sort of vibrant and alive. But as the show went on, the main character, Sherlock, just started to whisper more and more and more. And now everybody in that show whispers.
Yeah.
And the theme song is pretty great, but it's still sleepable.
I actually started to think maybe the show isn't good to watch because it puts me to sleep.
All right. Then there's the movie with Amy Adams, Arrival. It's a sci-fi movie.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it.
It's an outstanding movie, but it's sleepable.
I don't find it an outstanding movie. It's visually beautiful, but
oh, that's an amazing show. All right. Then finally, and this one's, I can't find it anymore. It used to be available. There was a translated from Japanese show about the theory of relativity. It was like 5 episodes.
Right.
And that show had this really weird, it's weird to me, Japanese cadence where like the narrator would talk and then there'd just be this prolonged like acting out of what he was talking about the theory of relativity. And then he would talk and it was like, you could tell that this show regarded the theory of relativity with this sort of spiritual deference. So it was this mashup. It was like 80% science, 20% church feel. And man, that's a sleepable show.
What you were saying, like I thought of something, and that was MASH. Remember back in the day, it was always like that 11 o'clock. I don't know why, but it's like sleepable shows. So shows to fall asleep to, MASH is like, and I really like that show. But I think it was just because as a child, if I stayed up late, my mom would be watching MASH, and that's the thing I could hear as I fell asleep. So now I think it's like, you know, some kind of like Pavlov, make yourself doze off stuff. But
yeah, man.
Shows. Wow. So that's funny that you guys have a
playlist.
One of
our other sleepable shows is, I think it's called The Physics of Light. That's the name of the show.
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
And for a while it was on, it was on Netflix, and then it was on Hulu, and then now it's nowhere.
So I'm really excited to talk about the X platform. You keep wanting to talk about
Physics of Light. That's a show, man. That show is sleepable.
but you make it sound so like, okay, I can't fall. I can fall asleep now. Like, I'm actually.
I should buy this. It's got to be cheap to buy. I should just buy The Physics of Light and just be like, sleep forever. we also sleep a lot to Bosch. Now, Bosch is a mixed bag because it's often very quiet and there's not often musical score. No. But every once in a while, there's a shootout.
No, but there is. The musical score is always that jazzy, mellow stuff.
Yeah. But the theme song has this high snare trumpet solo in it. That's impossible to sleep through. So while I'm sleeping, I'll literally like, I can hear the start, and I'm like, oh, I'll reach over and I'll turn it down during the theme song while I'm sleeping. Anyway, that's kind of funny.
Don't you have a sleep function on your thing? I hardly watch TV on a TV nowadays.
Oh, that's one of my half-baked ideas, by the way.
What's that?
So the lots of TVs have a sleep function, which is like turn off in 30 minutes, turn off in an hour, right? But I have the Apple TV, and the Apple TV controls my television set. And it should be a feature / app of the Apple TV that you can do enhanced sleep mode where it dims over the course of an hour.
Yeah, dims the light and dims the music.
And dims the music.
That's a great idea.
That's a smart TV. Why can't you do that?
You should talk to someone.
Because the light is a real problem, actually.
You should talk to someone that makes apps.
I should see by who makes apps. Yeah. All right, you wanted to get on to the next topic.
Well, not necessarily. I just thought,
sleepable shows.
Like,
we did it.
We've done sleepable shows.
Like, oh, yeah, the X platform.
All right. Okay, so are you... Do you like the branding?
I do.
I freaking love it. And what's weird... You know what's the weird part about it is?
What's that?
It's literally... This shows you
how... Sorry, friends, for those of you listening, Twitter has changed the name of Twitter to the X app, the everything app. And it did it with little fanfare and no warning. And so... All the haters of the Twitter hate are losing their minds. They're like, he's so dumb. He did it wrong. It's stupid. And so,
okay. So here's the fascinating thing to me is how fast Twitter died. Like, I'm talking about the lexicon.
Okay.
Like, you would think that when I saw all the buzz about they changed it and all this other stuff, and I saw the haters start talking like, why would you buy something for $44 million for the product and then destroy the branding? And I'm like, no, actually, the problem with Twitter was its branding in some ways. And the other part is he's moving it. He's using that as a jump platform to move it into other areas. And the fact that he's done it, I absolutely love, and because it reminds me of Prince, every time I get an email notification from X, it says, from X, the app formerly known as Twitter. Do you remember when Prince changed his name to that symbol? And nobody knew how to...
Yes.
How do you verbally say the symbol, right? So they just started referring to him as the artist formerly known as Prince. I freaking love it. I think it's great.
Well, okay. So here's what I want to talk about the X app. So they're making a bunch of decisions about making video easier to use inside the app.
Yeah, and they're trying to do broadcast.
One of the things they have inside the mobile version of the app, for example, there's a button you can push that will make the video go into the corner and be picture in picture so you can continue scrolling Twitter while the video plays. That's excellent.
It's genius.
That's genius, and it's excellent, and that's just awesome. But the real question is like, all right, but what's the reach of something like Twitter going to be? What's the reach going to be?
What do you mean by the reach?
Well, like, if I wanted to get to a lot of people, can I get to a lot of people on Twitter? And so Tucker Carlson got fired from Fox.
Right.
And on Fox, he was the highest rated show. He had a few million viewers every night.
Right.
Something like that.
3.4.
Right. So anyway, last night, Tucker Carlson interviewed Donald Trump and advertised it exclusively on Twitter, as far as I know. And...
have you seen the logo, by the way?
As of this morning, yeah, I'm looking at it right now, actually.
Tucker X.
Tucker on X.
I think it's so cool.
As of this morning, that video interview with Donald Trump has 201.6 million impressions. 201.6. Yeah. Now, you might read that and go, 200 million people watch this video. I don't think that can't be what it means. But I think it means that people have linked to this and excerpted it and we're seeing an autoplay in 201 million people's feeds. And that's an incredible, that's 100x increase in his viewership.
Something you talk about on your mobile apps all the time is the ability for your game to see so much of what you do while you're using the game. And yeah. you can see when you're tuning out, when you're bored with a game, with one of the sub games, when you're bored with where you are. You can see when people put it down. You can see when people pick it up. And I think that's interesting information. So much of analog TV is still entrenched. Like the Nielsen ratings, even though we have all of this other ways of kind of measuring audience sizes, it's still dominated by Nielsen readings. And for you that don't know, there's a company called Nielsen Company. They use a statistical sampling size, and they choose random people throughout the country to be a Nielsen rating person. They put a box on your TV, and then they use that as a statistical sample to be able to figure out what the sample size or what the size of an audience is. And that determines advertising revenue, right? So if you have something like, for instance, the Super Bowl, right? So many people watch the Super Bowl that advertising is super expensive because you get so many more eyes on it.
Yeah.
So that's how they've been doing it all these years. Well, part of what is happening is all these alternative situations, and this actually feeds into the strike right now, right? For Hollywood.
Yeah.
Because what the actors are saying is that, hey, you're playing our piece of art on an alternative media, say that's Netflix, X, YouTube, whatever. And our contract is based on certain kinds of compensation based upon where it's being played or if it's being played, or and much of it became an honor system, right? They would play it, and if they played it, you got a residual. Now the problem is that honor system is way more quantifiable. So they're saying we want to quantify in a different way. And what's happening is Twitter can quantify your reach in a much more in-depth way than Fox News can. And what it's showing is it looks like Tucker's audience is a lot bigger than anyone realized.
Maybe it must be. Look, because if you go through his other videos, so I said that thing about how this can't mean that 200 million people watched it. It's actually, maybe it can, or maybe it can be that 50 million people watched it four times. I don't know. But here's what I do know: his other videos don't score that high. So the advertisement about the event has 13 million impressions. 37 million impressions. Then another interview that he did has 13 million. One has 9. One has 50. Actually, Vivek Ramaswamy's interview, which is actually very good, has 44 million impressions.
Yeah.
So it's a wide range. One of the things that, to your point, is it's like instant feedback. Like Tucker Carlson knows what people want.
Yeah.
Like and in, what's a way gonna that, happen in a way is, that he did not.
So he's defining the space. And although he didn't make a quote unquote deal with Elon, what's going to happen is he's going to make a deal with Elon. I don't mean that he is going to be working for Twitter, but he's going to be basically the gold standard of how Twitter is going to start doing revenue sharing. Because Twitter is trying to move into the monetary space of advertising,
yeah,
just like YouTube is. And if they are doing that, if they can monetize your program, then they're going to start sharing revenue like YouTube does.
Yeah.
And so because of that, they're looking for content creators. And those content creators like Tucker are saying, okay, well, I'm not going to get a big $50 million contract or something like that, but I can go and generate $50 million.
Well, and what's the other thing that's really interesting is that Tucker would obviously have gone to YouTube. That's the obvious place for this.
Yes.
But YouTube is doing their censorship stuff.
Yep.
And they're doing liberal bias censorship.
Yep.
And so Tucker's like, well, I can't risk that. So now there's, 200 million. That's a lot, man.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Can you imagine the advertisers flocking to that?
Well, I can imagine it, but they're currently holding back. Like Twitter is having, X is having a really hard time attracting.
No, it's not going to hold back forever.
They can't. Because someone's going to look.
They're
at
holding
that
back.
Someone's going to look at that $200 million and yep. be like,
"Not only that,
I got to get in front of that."
Not only that, I think that 90% of this virtue signaling corporate statement stuff that comes out is virtue signaling. They're just trying to keep the haters away. And I think that rebranding
Twitter.
Well, they've
been successful enough that it's hurt Twitter. It's hurt them.
Yes, but Twitter's no longer Twitter. So now you're with X, right? Yeah. And you're like, well, I'm not really with Twitter anymore. I'm with X.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at it saying, well, I want to get my, like, who's going to buy my product? And I'm selling American flags, right? And my American flag, I'm like, who's going to buy my American flag? I know who's going to buy my American flag. These guys that watch Tucker Carlson. And guess what? I can get Super Bowl level eyes. Super Bowl level eyes at a fraction of the cost.
Right.
And it's way more direct.
I mean, what, like, why wouldn't you want
to
have 200 million?
They're going to. It's not, they will not stay away. Money is the factor here. And the thing is they're gonna say, do I lose more or gain more? And by proving the numbers, right? The problem with what Twitter was before, there was,
like,
a lot of questions.
They might even keep Procter & Gamble away. But that just means the upstart competitor of Procter & Gamble
exactly.
will be like, I'm doing this.
You know what I mean? Procter & Gamble, go for it. But hey, you know, let's call it Everett and Davis, right? That does exactly
sure.
the same Procter & Gamble does, but we can never compete in their advertising
right.
budgets. We now can go on to a Tucker Carlson, get 200 million eyes, right, in one episode of his show. And
that's so much.
And I, at a fraction of the cost. And what
yeah.
am I doing? I'm saying, fine, I'm going this way. I don't have to be political. I'm not choosing because of politics. I'm choosing
because
of eyeballs.
It's like everyone needs soap. You know
yep.
what I mean? Like
everybody
buy
needs
my
soap. Right? Dude, I freaking love it.
Man, it's pretty
Dude,
wild.
Okay, so this is my.
But if those numbers are real, like, I don't know how those numbers are measured. 202.6 million views
yeah,
since we
but
last
remember
spoke.
One of the.
Wait, I want to say this. I don't know how these numbers are measured. But if they're measured at all linked to reality at all, then this will be what determines the next presidential election.
Yes.
It
and
will
that's
be.
What I was going to say. We are in a shift.
And it's
shift,
arguably what determined the last one because they turned off
yes.
Trump on the social media.
This is a shift. And by the way, if Donald Trump wants to do it, he needs to go back to X. Because I love the fact that he put his money where his mouth is and tried to create his own app and congratulations, right? Keep your app, but go back to X, because if you want to get that audience, you need it. You need that audience. You need to be communicating in a certain way. And I think any presidential candidate, despite his perceived popularity, is putting himself behind if he doesn't use that platform.
I think so. Like you, all right. So guys, you might remember our last episode. I bragged up McDonald's salsa packets.
Dude, I went and got one.
What'd you think?
I was genuinely impressed. I mean, like, would I say that it's like,
would you put it in a bottle?
I would not buy it out of a grocery store.
It way better than you would expect from
yeah,
McDonald's?
For sure.
All right. So a friend texted while we were talking just now, and he's like, "Is it wrong if I hoard these?" And it's a picture of McDonald's salsa packets, and I took a moment to read the ingredients. The first ingredient is water.
Okay.
The second ingredient is jalapeno peppers. That's
okay.
why. It's not a tomato base.
It's a jalapeno.
Tomato
paste
is third, but
right.
it's a jalapeno based like yeah. like salsa.
No, it's legitimately got a little bit of a bite to it. It's got
yeah.
great. It has a good decent flavor.
Yeah.
I keep in mind, I suck these things right out of the packet because I didn't have anything to put them on.
Yeah.
My son
and
was like,
I will say, I actually took some home. And I put them on things that I would normally put other sauce on.
Like a chip or whatever.
And it didn't really hang the way it hung on the breakfast sandwich. When I put it on the breakfast sandwich, it was a thing. I was like, this is a good thing that's happening. When I put it on other Mexican foodie things, it wasn't quite as strong. It wasn't quite as successful. But, you know, I'm not backing down. I'm proud of McDonald's.
They did
the right thing.
Yeah, good job, McDonald's. They did the right thing. Get a good salsa for you.
Good salsa.
You don't really think of them being a salsa-based thing.
Hey, speaking of Mexican food and salsa, there's a new Mexican place in town. I'm going to air quotes Mexican really hard.
Yes.
Because it's American. It's like fancy American Mex. But it's over by you, dude.
Huh?
The new gas station at the Valencia off-ramp.
Oh, yeah.
Brick and Flour.
The
Brick
Circle K right there.
At the Circle K.
That's good?
In that building, there's Brick and Flour. It's good. You're going to like it. I mean, it's good in the Cafe Rio American Mex kind of way.
Got it. So it's not really sit down. It's kind of like go and get your burrito, get out.
It's fast casual. You walk up and get your burrito and you sit down.
Free salsa?
But the burrito was enormous, so there's that. Salsa's free. There's no chips and salsa. That's not a thing.
There? It's not?
No.
Oh, that's lame.
But what I'm trying to tell you is that's a legit, like, that needs it. That's in the rotation. That's officially in the rotation.
Okay, so have you?
I just went there with Ryan Walk, and I'm like, oh, I'm doing this again.
And he's a foodie, too.
Yeah, it's in the rotation.
Have you been to Dario's?
No.
It's the one down by Hart High School in the parking lot of that Shell. It's on Lyons and I think Newhall Avenue.
Okay.
It's behind the Shell in the same parking lot.
Okay.
Dude, it's legit. First time I ever ate there.
I've been looking for legit. It's so weird that there's not legit Mexican.
I probably don't want to talk it up this high, but I had their fajitas. They're like mixed fajitas with chicken and beef and shrimp. Probably the best one I've had in a long time. And I love fajitas. But chips and salsa, oh, dude, they're so good. They give you salsa and beans for as part of the – it's a sit-down.
All right.
But, yeah, try it. Dario's.
Okay, to round out our regional interest-only food thing, did you hear that Mendocino Farms is coming to town?
No, where?
It's coming to the old Peway.
Oh,
right.
Have you eaten there a lot?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's incredibly expensive, but it is so good.
It is like they've taken chick food and made it so good.
They've done really good.
That men can enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. You
can go there. That should be their slogan. Chick food done so well that men can enjoy it.
And they're really good at, they're super good service.
Yeah.
But when I went vegan, and I was doing that, you know, trying to get my health back together, and I did a long stint of being vegan. That's like one of the very first restaurants.
Are you not vegan anymore?
I am probably at 80%. Like I said, I just have the fajitas.
Oh, I use it as
probably 90%, I should say. I use it as like my treat.
Well, that's fine. I think that's a healthier
way
to live.
So maybe once every couple of weeks, maybe once a month or something, I'll have a steak.
Nice.
Or if I'm going out with friends and I'm like, okay, I've been super strict with my diet, I'm super clean, then I'll have fajitas instead of. I don't find that I enjoy as much as I used to going to like a Mexican restaurant and just getting vegan stuff, unless I load it with guacamole, which is great. Was kind of super fatty. Anyway,
Mendocino Farms,
great.
If you've never eaten there, if you ever come to LA, you should go because it's a chain. So there's lots of different Mendocino Farms.
Not a lot. There's not a lot.
But one of the great innovations, there's like five or six.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a ton.
One of the great innovations of Mendocino Farms is when you get a salad to go, the salad comes in a bowl with a snap shut. It's a deep bowl instead of a wide flat bowl.
Right.
It's a deep bowl. So you can actually fork it really hard and not have it fly all over the car.
Yeah, no, it's
dude, it's really good, man. Yeah. And I'm like, why are they even talking about salads? And I'm telling you, like
everything,
their salads are good enough that a human man can enjoy them.
I used to eat their banh mi sandwich, which is they make it in two versions. They make it with firm tofu, which is my favorite, and the other one they make with beef. Oh, dude, both are great.
Yeah,
they're both so good. That is a great restaurant. I'm glad it's coming.
One of the other things on your list was air in the room. Did you want to talk about air in the room?
So have you ever been in a room where the air gets sucked out by just one personality? Just like there's no room. There's no room in that room for anyone else. It's just it could be a positive thing or a negative.
Yeah, yeah, I was going to ask.
So I've noticed.
I guess. I don't know.
Okay, so I've noticed. I saw something recently, an interview, and the guy was talking about Donald Trump. And they talked about one of the things they talked about was the presence when he's in the room. And one of the reasons why some people have a really visceral dislike for him is he sucks the air out of a room. He literally it doesn't even matter how he's acting. He can be acting like a total normal person.
That happens with some people who aren't trying, but he actually wants that too. Like, so he tries to do that.
Yeah, but he doesn't try. What I'm saying is that it's natural.
Okay.
Like, it's just something he does. He walks into the room, the air leaves.
All right.
And so you have people who feel like they should deserve a section of the air. And so they fight for it so viscerally. And then he tries to shut it down. It's really an interesting dynamic that I hadn't thought of before. So part of this Tucker Carlson thing that he did, I was watching some of the questions. First of all, he asked some really interesting questions.
He asked questions that no one else is asking.
Yeah. So
which
one of them
has another one of my themes. That I want
one
to talk about
of
later.
Them we'll have to talk about, but one of them was like, did he just ask that? One of the things is like, if he were on that debate stage, right?
Yeah.
Not a single person on there would have any air.
Well, we saw it all happen in 2016. Like, yeah. Everybody, even people that I consider to be interesting people that I wouldn't mind having as president,
yeah,
just looked small in comparison.
Very.
Not just literally, but figuratively.
Very. By the way, Barack Obama had the air about him. As much as I'm not a fan, but he could. He could suck the air out of a room just by walking in.
Well, he commands all the attention. That's the other
before
way of
before he was
saying.
President, he was commanding that attention.
Yeah.
Right? Which is weird because Biden doesn't, right? Biden doesn't do that. George Bush sometimes did. I think Ronald Reagan probably did. Like he was pretty
Ronald
serious.
Reagan for sure did. Yeah. That's what they hated about
and
him.
I actually think Clinton did.
Clinton for sure did.
Yeah, I mean, he could suck the air out of a room. So,
Clinton versus Dole, it's like, come on.
Yeah.
It's just like.
But that's the interesting part. Like, I started looking at it through how much air is in the room and who's taking it. And then I'm starting, like, that's an interesting measurement that I don't know that we ever kind of calculate. Like, it's just because it's so innate in our
souls.
I mean,
sometimes they do. Sometimes they call it gravitas. Right.
Yeah, kind of. Well, the movies say that the camera loves them, right? The freaking camera loves Donald Trump. By the way, just in the numbers that you did, Vivek, who is probably my favorite candidate, right? I think he's awesome.
Vivek Ramaswamy.
Vivek, yeah. I mean, did I say Vivek? Vivek is probably my favorite of the other challengers.
Yeah, he's great.
But he had 50 million on Tucker's thing, you know, and here Donald Trump does an interview, same kind of format, same person interviewing, he's got 200 million. I mean, he sucks the air out of everything.
Yeah.
He sucked the air out of a debate he didn't attend. And it's still, today we're talking about his interview instead of the other 12 people on that stage that were basically insignificant. It's fascinating. I never looked at it from that side. The air in the room. I never looked at it from that perspective.
Well, there's a positive and negative side to that. Some sure. people command that kind of air because of lives of accomplishment and integrity and ideas that just demand that attention. That's
yes.
some people.
Yeah, yeah.
But then there's this other dark side. And I want to be honest about this because we need to be honest about this. Human beings are hardwired to admire beauty, period.
Yeah.
And so we will listen to a movie star who has symmetrical features and big eyes.
Yeah.
And a charming, affable smile. We will give them so much more credibility than they deserve.
Yeah.
I was reading. I read some article about like people who are creepers on movie sets and TV sets. And one of them is a person that like women would immediately know. Like, and this is only according to the internet. The internet could be full of crap. But
who was it?
But it was Luke on Gilmore Girls. The guy who runs the diner on Gilmore Girls, who becomes her eventual life partner, love interest in the end,
right?
That every girl has a warm feelings about because he's this gruff, anti of the main hero. So he's like this, you know, like we're interested in this guy. Anyway, on set, according to a friend who was on set, he was shamelessly a lech, like a. But we see that guy with his strong jaw and muscular features and his big blue eyes. And we're like, he's got something going on. And that is false. And human beings, we have to be very careful not to believe somebody because they're beautiful.
Well, so I agree with that to an extent. There's some exceptions to that. And I haven't understood why. And I think part of it's because the exceptions to the rule of you're very good looking and you're believable, you become believable. And I think that some of that...
like smarmy. I mean, you know what I mean? I'm actually worried about that a little bit on Vivek. Like, there's sometimes he's so smooth, I'm like,
Well, but Vivek...
He seems to have the bona fides. He's got a family. He's got
He's starting to step in at a few things, but that's to be expected at this level. But yeah. By the way, just a side note, I don't know if I ever predicted on air, but I predicted this in private to everybody. I said DeSantis isn't ready for the big stage.
Sure.
And he hasn't been. He has fallen incredibly flat.
You're also believing the press is fully in control of whether or not he's rising or falling. And
I don't.
And they deliberately lifted him up in order to make him fall now.
No, I don't agree with that. I don't. You give way more credence to the ability of the press.
Let me finish my thought. That only validates what you're saying. If the press is in charge of whether he's rising or falling, that means he's not ready. Because that's the main value
that
Donald Trump provided when he was successful.
Right. Same with Ronald Reagan.
Remote controlled that press.
Same with Barack Obama. By the way, Barack Obama was not loved by the press or the left. He stole the love. He just went in there, took it.
This is what I'm saying.
Before he should.
So to your point, is DeSantis ready? Well, unless he can control the narrative, he's not ready.
He can't.
And he has not controlled the narrative.
No.
However, he's good at controlling. However, this DeSantis has failed, it's already over thing, like that's just the press telling you that. And he can, if he decides to change it, he can't.
Yeah. I mean, I know that everybody thinks that Donald Trump's not going to be the nominee, but even if he goes to jail, he'll be the nominee.
No one thinks that. Everyone thinks he's going to be the nominee.
Yeah, he'll be the nominee.
But people like me fear that he won't be president
that
again.
That might be true, but he's the nominee. And so the question is, how do we change that? And Vivek actually, I think, has an interesting strategy. But anyway, that was the side note. What was my main point? What were we talking about?
I said that you can't. You should be careful to trust someone just because they're beautiful.
Yeah. So here's the exception to that, which I never really understood. Romney. He's a very good-looking guy.
Yeah.
And he just could not take air into a room. And I have seen him in many personal live events where I am sitting as close to him as I am to you, and he could not command that room.
Yeah, and John
like
Kerry. John Kerry, same.
Yeah,
everyone's like John Kerry, and he's super handsome.
He can't
intelligent.
Carry a room.
He doesn't have the gravitas.
He can't carry a room, and that's an interest. It's just an interesting. So in your analysis that people like good looking people, one of the things I always thought that was in Romney's favor was that he was good looking.
People trust them more than they should. That's my note.
Yeah. Well, nobody, for whatever reason, he could not take it down. That was an interesting one. All right. What else is on our list?
That's it.
No, come on. You have like 90. You always send 90 things to me.
We definitely did this morning. So it's, oh,
flat tires.
I've had
What's
a
that
spate
about?
Of flat tires lately. Yeah. So Rachel drove into work and she's like, "Hey, my tire's flat." This is super bad news that turned into good. So right. I get my tires done at a place that will do free flat repair and free rotation or whatever. So I went in and I put the spare on Rachel's car, and then we went to start it. And the battery was dead.
Wait, down at the office?
Yeah.
Where was I?
I don't know if you were in that day or not, but I went down there and I changed the tire, and it was to the great panic of everyone in your office, because your office is full of people who just call AAA. They literally like, I'll call AAA for you. And she's like, no, my husband's got this. Don't worry. So I went down there.
Wait, you don't have AAA?
We don't, no.
Okay.
So we went down there and we changed the tire, but Rachel had sat in the car with the battery, like listening to music, but not very much, like for 20 minutes. And the battery was dead. So then we got the cables from the garage guy and jump-started the car. Anyway, the happy ending to that story was I got free flat repair, and then I went to the car place and my battery was under warranty, and like everything was like free. Like, everything paid off. For once in my life, that was pretty great.
What's the brand of the battery?
I just AutoZone. I don't know.
Oh, well, that's good.
Duralast Gold.
Duralast Gold.
That's what it was. So anyway, that was still under warranty, but then so that was just like
sorry, I'm still gaping at the idea you don't have AAA in LA.
But why would you?
I guess you don't need it if you have a Randy.
There
but
you go.
What if Randy's busy?
This is literally what Rachel said. She's like, no, I have a guy for that.
I got a Randy.
So then the other thing So then I go out to get in my car yesterday, and it's flat tire. I had to go down and get my tire fixed again.
I'm getting rid of AAA, and I'm just calling you.
Yes. I mean, look, would you pay me, what is it, $25 a month or $50 a month? I can't remember
it's
what it is.
It's more than that. No, it's like, it's not even, I don't remember. You know my story about AAA and why. So like one time I was looking at my AAA card and it's like, thank you for 46 years of service. And I'm like, what?
Oh, I remember. That's right. I forgot. You told me it's one of your family things.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
You just can't risk it because your car might break down.
Now, if I'm being honest, I don't know if I currently have AAA, but I normally do. My wife's always like, do you have AAA? It used to get an insurance through AAA.
I actually am adding. So I have... roadside assistance on two of my cars through Geico, and I'm going to add it to Rachel's. I don't have it on Rachel's. But even if I did, she would have been there for five more hours, right, waiting for the guy to show up.
No,
and stuff
like AAA is 30 minutes, especially if you're in, like, the Valley.
That's cool.
There's a bunch of – hey, wait, I had a question. You said you pass over insurance. We talked about insurance in between podcasts.
Oh, gosh.
And it's a terrible homeowner's insurance shock. What was the end of that? So if you don't know, California, we talked about this, that California's having this insurance basically crisis.
Yeah, so it hit me last week. I got my renewal offer. So my renewal offer. So 2 years ago, my insurance was regular. My homeowner's insurance cost a regular amount, right? When we've like 2 years ago.
Right.
And then my insurer said, we can't afford to stay in California. We're leaving. And that's because of what William said, which is they won't let people raise rates. So then there's fewer insurers. And if there's fewer insurers, that means that rates can be higher easier.
Right.
Because there's less competition. Right. Right?
Well, so, sort of, but it's also fixed in California.
So I switched to Farmers. They were the only ones I could find that would write me a policy because
Farmers or State Farm?
Farmers.
Okay. I was getting mixed up.
I did too on the air once, I think. I'm next to an little oak area. Like there's oak trees behind us and oak trees to the left of us. And that's beautiful, but it turns out that's also a fire danger. And so I am in a high fire danger area. And so most insurers just won't insure me, period. So I had to shop like five different places before I finally found one, which is Farmers, who actually gave me rates. But this is just a year ago. No, it's been 2 years. I had one renewal. So I got Farmers for an okay but high price. And then they renewed for a higher price than I was comfortable with. And I changed my coverage and got the price back in check. And then this year I got the renewal and it's a 269% increase.
That's not funny.
So it's 3.5 times Now think about what you guys pay for homeowners insurance. You may not know because it's just built into your mortgage payment. But built in, so it's probably a couple $100 and times 10, it's you're paying a couple grand a year. Probably
times 12.
I shouldn't say that. Most of you guys are probably paying less than that. You're probably paying a grand and a half a year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they quoted me $7,000.
So did you find another
one? So I called my guy. I'm like, hey, so 260. I thought it might be 100%.
Did you cuss him out?
No, I'm not mad at my guy. He didn't do anything. I'm just like, hey, so this is, I did make a joke about it. I was like, hey, so this is a buck wild renewal. Like I haven't seen a 269% increase, especially when I've had zero claims forever. I've owned houses now for, how old am I? I've owned houses for 30 years and I've never had a claim ever. You know what I mean?
Right.
But anyway, so I just said, hey, so California has a fallback where it's called the FAIR plan, where you can pay California for basic home replacement insurance for fire so that you can have a mortgage if you can't afford homeowners insurance. And I asked him for that. And I asked him because he's also
Did you price anything else out?
He's also an agent, so I asked him to check. If there's any other people.
I sent you that one, American Modern. Did you check that one out?
No, I didn't understand what your context was. I just thought you were telling me a story, so I didn't realize.
Oh no! So I told your story to one of my partners, and he's like, "Oh yeah, the same thing happened to me. I went from Farmers to I got American Modern."
Oh, I understood that story differently.
Oh, I'm sorry. American Modern is the company. My bad. Sometimes I text and think at the same
time. Cool.
I shouldn't do that.
Well, so that's it. So I'm going to either get the California whatever or try and see.
So then what you do, if you do the California FAIR plan where it gives you just basically fire insurance, and then do you go get the other insurance from, can you do that?
You can do that through Farmers and it's pennies. So I might do that.
Well, so the Farmers agent that's in our building over there, I was telling him your story and he goes, oh yeah, that's normal. And I'm like, what? And I said, I looked at him, I said, you realize there's no way in hell I would ever pay you that amount of money. So you better tell your people above that. There's no way in hell if my insurance goes up 300%, I'm not paying it.
Yeah.
I'll go to the fair plan. I'll go to.
Well, that's what I'm doing. So I reach out to my guy, and because he'll actually write a policy with the fair plan and riders and stuff. So anyway, so that's happening. So I'm not stressed about it because I know the fair plan exists. But I would be stressed about it if I thought I just had to absorb a new $600 a month bill. You know.
So this makes me ill even thinking about it.
Well, we don't have to think about it. Denial is the way to go. In fact, I got to go.
Ostrich.
I'm off to work, actually. So, friends, ostrich. This has been a insurance. We talked about death. We talked about insurance.
Peppers.
We talked about peppers.
Yeah, flat pepper.
We talked about...
Flat Iron Pepper Company.
Flat Iron Pepper Company.
Oh, dude, you're going to love it. I promise. It's worth it. We should get a... We should make an advertisement and then say, hey, we just did this and you increased your sales by X amount.
Hundreds.
You should
and
pay us.
Hundreds of dollars.
And then we should start broadcasting on X.
This has been your source for life hacks, social commentary, amazing stories. I'm Randy.
I'm William.
Have a good day.